First Baptist Church. We're glad you could join us today. First, I want to thank our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, our elders, my wife, my kids, and our church family for giving us the opportunity to be able to share God's message with you today. Today, before I start my message, I have a question I want you guys to think about. And you guys that are online, if you guys can and want to, please share your comments online. So I just want to let you guys know, whatever you guys answer, you're not alone. So, and the title for this message is also the question, are you afraid? We have all experienced 2020 to start off real hard. What a year it's been, right? And 2021 seems like it's right in hot pursuit. So with COVID still on the rise, we have a new president with the lockdowns and so many other things going on. Who knows when's the last time we've seen some of our friends? With so many new things to be afraid of, I don't even know if we're still afraid of snakes and spiders. Well, we all have been afraid at one point or another lately, and, you know, people are afraid being locked in their homes right now of the virus. Others are afraid of wearing the mask because of respiratory infections they might get. We all have been afraid at one point or another. I know, Brother Jim, I know you're not afraid sometimes, but there's other words that we can change for that word afraid. How about the word like scared or frightened? How about words like upset, disturbed, discouraged, disappointed, doubtful? These are all similar to anxiety. These are all feelings we get for something that happens, but it's way out of our control. If we look around the world from January 2020 to January 2021, a lot has changed. I remember being in Big Bear last year around this time at the SoFire Youth Group snow trip. And I was asked, would you help us next year? And I was so happy with being there in the snow for a couple of days that I agreed. Every year we try to catch one of the 162 Dodger games that are played during the year. And this year the Dodgers won the World Series and I wasn't able to catch one game, but it's okay. So our snow trip was canceled. The Dodger games didn't open to the public. And our plans have all changed. And it's disappointing. So we see sometimes that it's very unpredictable and just being unsure is scary. In fact, we as humans always make some kind of plan B. You know, if something's not going to work out, we try to have another plan for it. But I want to share today's scripture with you. And it's about Jesus telling us to not be anxious and to trust in him. So I want to start off with one day that Jesus was teaching and he attracted a huge crowd. He stood on the mountainside next to the Sea of Galilee and taught the people who came to listen. This sermon became known as the Sermon on the Mount. This is an amazing message and I highly encourage you all to read it in full. Jesus teaches people how to pray. Jesus teaches people who will be blessed in the Beatitudes and how Christians should live their daily lives. But today I want to focus on Matthew 6:25-34. Before I read the verse, let's keep in mind the words that we used earlier: scared, frightened, upset, disturbed, discouraged, disappointed. You pick the word that calls out to you the most. And as I read these verses, just think about that word. So in Matthew 25:34, it reads, "Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap, nor gather in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more valuable than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to your lifespan? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothed the grass of the fields, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you? Oh, you a little faith. Therefore, I do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? for the Gentiles seek all these things, and your heavenly Father knows you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, because tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient is a day, is its own trouble. So in those last 9 verses I read right now, the word anxiety came up 5 times. It says, do not be anxious about your life and about what, and which of you are by being anxious. And why are you anxious? Therefore, do not be anxious. Tomorrow will be anxious for itself. So we start the verse 25, and we find out, like Pastor Ray showed me, or showed us, why is the therefore, therefore? So right before verse 25, Jesus made a very strong statement. Jesus was talking about treasures and a person's heart. He was telling people how treasures found here on earth, like money and jewels, won't go with you to heaven. Growing up poor, I really didn't think this was meant for me. But let's keep in mind that most people who came out to listen to Jesus around that time weren't very wealthy and probably couldn't have too many treasures here on earth. But even not having money, our minds are still thinking, if only I had money, I can do this. Or this past week, I had it. If I only spend this last dollar on the Mega Million, maybe I can do so much more with these billions, you know? Mm-hmm. But money becomes something that occupies our mind. Jesus wants us to live righteous and store our treasures in heaven. So Jesus says in Matthew 6:24, no one can serve two masters, for either they will hate the one and love the other, or they will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. So do we serve God or do we serve the world? Do we let God be the master of our hearts, or does the world show us how to live our lives? This is why we are full of anxiety and worry at times, because of many aspects of our lives that we still haven't let God take full control of. So today I want to share 3 points with you. The first point is, don't worry about your needs. The second point, God knows your needs. And the third point, God's kingdom needs to be first. So point one, don't worry about life. In verse 25 of Matthew chapter 6, it reads, therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will be put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? How many of us worry on a daily basis? Maybe not about what we're going to eat or what we're going to wear, but maybe our jobs or maybe where we live or, you know, many things that we're dealing with in life. We are left with fear, we're left with stress, and we're left with anxiety. We have seen countless people be laid off because of the virus. Others that have had to quarantine for 14 days and miss work and having trouble paying bills, you know. Sometimes you think about it, how am I going to pay my bills? How am I going to survive? So First John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17 tells us, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the desire of the flesh and the desire of the eye and pride in possessions is not from the Father, but is from the world. And the world is passing away along with its desires. But whoever does the will of God abides forever. We see that many things are around the world that we worry about revolve around money. So look around. Are we serving money or are we serving God? Are we putting all our faith in God and God's will? Or are we letting the world get the best of us? At the end of verse 25, Jesus reads, is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? God gave us a body and filled it with a life. In Genesis 1:27, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created him. God created us. And that takes us to the second point. God knows your needs. In verse 26, it reads, look at the birds in the air. They neither sow nor reap. Nor gather in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more valuable than they? We see in this verse that Jesus is telling a great illustration. The first of the two, I can imagine just the birds flying around the mountain that day, you know, soaring high in the sky without a care in the world. They don't have to look for a hotel to sleep in. They don't have to put gas in a car to go. They don't have to wait in line at In-N-Out to get a burger, you know. So they got it made, really. You think about it. God made them for a certain job, and he provides for them. Now the question, are you not more valuable than those birds? We are made in God's image, so yes, of course we are. We're more valuable than those birds. God made those birds for a reason and provides for them what they eat and what they drink, as he does for us. Maybe you're playing basketball on a hot sunny day at the park and you want an ice cold soda but don't have money. Guess what? There's a water fountain and it's free. Maybe it's not what you want, but it's what you need. God supplies all our needs. In Philippians 4:19, he says, And my God will meet all my needs, all your needs, according to the riches of the glory in Christ Jesus. It takes me to verse 27. And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his lifespan? And this was pretty interesting. I actually went back to the New King James Version to read it. It read, which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? So a cubit was a measurement of length that equals to about a foot and a half. Roman times, I think they said it was like hand to elbow or something, more or less. So my question is, how can we add a foot and a half in length to the end of our lifespan when your life is in time? We just can't. It doesn't work that way. You know, we got to stop worrying about things like that because at times they're very out of our control. Verse 28 shows us, and why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet, I tell you, even Solomon in his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow will be thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you? Oh, you of little faith. Have you ever picked up a flower and really looked at it, like kind of seen the details they have on them? Some of these are magnificent. You know, they all have their different fragrances. They all have their different patterns and shapes. So we also got to remember, God who created us also created these flowers. So picture a field of covered in lilies, beautiful flowers, beautiful leaves on them. And just like the birds, all of the flowers have to do is sit there and look pretty. They don't have to toil nor spin. In other words, they don't have to labor all day for a check to buy a new jacket that just came out. They bloom into these amazing colored fields without anything but God's rules of nature. They are watered by rain. They get sunlight and grow. They don't need fields to be plowed. They don't need someone to water them or fertilize them. God provides what they need. If God will clothe a flower so beautifully, will he not treat us better? So shouldn't this encourage us to trust in God's process? But how do we do that? It's a lot easier said than done. So it takes me to the third point today, putting God's kingdom first. Matthew chapter 6, verses 31 reads, therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things. But your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So what's the answer to those three questions? The answer is God will provide. Has someone ever come up to you and told you, don't worry, God will provide? You know, I remember when people would come, before I was here as a Christian, I remember people would tell me that, and I would take it like, yeah, I know, but I really don't think I ever really trusted it. I've seen it said in the Bible, you know, and people come up and share stories about it. But you guys, how God provided for my family is amazing. And I've told some of you guys this story, but I'm going to tell it again. We went to a birthday party one year, and my son slipped and broke his leg. We took him to the hospital here in El Centro, and After 6 hours there, they told us to take him home. There was nothing they could do for him. We had to take him up to Children's Hospital. That day, we had $35 in our pockets. I remember this day clearly. I remember waking up that morning and going to put gas, and my tire was flat. I called into the church, and I let them know I wasn't going to be able to come usher that day. No one knew where I was or what was going on, but I remember going outside, and my tire was flat. So with the $35, I went and tried to patch my tire, and I remember, I won't say a name, but we'll call him Superman, showed up that day, and he stopped, and he said, "Hey, can I help you?" And I didn't know what to say. He's all, "Let me pay for your tire." You know, it's like God sent someone at that exact time that I needed him. And as we were leaving, he told me, "You know what? Let me put gas in your car." Like, not knowing my situation or anything. So, you know, I went over there. I thanked him as much as I could, and I left. We're on our way to San Diego with $35. My grandma calls me right when I'm leaving the gas station and heard what happened. Asked me to stop by, and she gave me an extra $20. So there we are on our way to San Diego with $55 now. We get to San Diego, and my wife goes into the hospital with my son, and I stay in the parking lot with my daughter, or in the front, just hanging out. And a couple minutes later, I hear a voice from behind me that says, "Victor, is that you?" And I turn around and I look, and it's my dad's brother, my uncle I haven't seen in years. And he was there to pray for another girl from his church. But after he prayed with us and left, he came back and told us, "You know what? I just felt in my heart that you needed this." So he gave me $20. So, you know, it's like, I'm bawling now. You know, what can I say? And so we're just waiting. And, you know, it's getting lunchtime. And all of a sudden, Laura's brother shows up and he buys the kids Happy Meals. You know, so it's like one blessing after another. Jesus knows what I needed. We leave, we get some food, and we start coming home. It's about 9 o'clock at night, and I think it was like $80-something left. While coming down, we get to Walmart, and coming down the mountain, we remember we don't have milk or anything for the kids, so we decide to stop at Walmart that night. And Laura runs in real quick. I stay in the car with the kids, and she runs out, surprised that we still had $3 in our pocket after that. God will provide. So what I'm asking you guys today is to put your faith and focus on Jesus. He will always provide every time, every place, and in every situation. But like I told my youth group kids this past week, it comes with a monthly fee. That cost is you putting your trust in Jesus. Trust his word. Jesus has already told us that he is with us. He has our backs. He's on our side. Like the song says, if he's with us, who can stand against us? We need to trust Jesus. Ask him to light our paths to get to where we need to be. Ask him to guide us through the day. Stay close to him through prayer and not worry. For some reason, I still fight worrying. You know, I turn on the TV, I scroll through social media, and all you see is hate on both sides of politics. I need to tell you guys this, and it's really been on my heart, but politics is not for us. We need to get back to building the kingdom of God. We have people upset about the new president or what's going to happen or the outcome, but we need to remember God put Nebuchadnezzar in charge for a reason. And whatever the outcome is, Jesus knows why. We need to remember God has an ultimate plan that we know how it ends, but the context is still playing out. Trust God's process. We all know about the armor of God in the book of Ephesians and what the defensive armor protects us from. We also know that we have an offensive weapon, the sword of the Spirit. Get into your words. Get into God's word. And this goes for me also. This year, for 2021, let's be on the offense. Let's spread God's word and put it into action. When I was younger, I was doing things that I had no business doing. I remember someone asked, "What if someone sees you?" My answer was easy. "I'm not a role model," is what I told them. I looked up to drug dealers, people that had awesome cars, people that never had to work for their money. And that's what I wanted to do. After taking that road for years, it ended up in a car crash. You guys, I just want to let you know, you have the opportunity right now to sit back in the passenger seat with God driving. give him the will, sit back and enjoy the ride. We become role models even when we don't know. I wake up every morning now to my two beautiful kids looking up to me daily. Be the godly role model that God, that the world needs. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. And even when the world seems like it's falling, falling all around us, he is bringing peace. Trust Jesus in everything you do. Be that peace in somebody's life and show them Christ through you. Let's try to shine God's light into this dark world and continue to build his kingdom. Will you guys please pray with me? Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. We thank you for every opportunity you give us, Lord. We thank you for just using us, Father, to be able to spread your word. We ask you to continue to light that fire in us, Father, to be able to reach out to every single person that walks by us, Lord, not to start judging or picking and choosing, but you choose for us, Lord. Let the Holy Spirit guide us. Father, I thank you for this opportunity. I thank you for every person that came out today. Father, I just want to ask you to help us as we go into this new week, Father, to be able to put your words into practice. Help us trust you more, Lord, in everything we do. We love you, Father God, and we thank you. It's in your mighty name we pray. Amen.